Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting. Welcome to the Mac Show, the show from the British Tech Network that deals with the week's Macintosh news. And we are here to discuss presidents of long years gone past, whether you can get two knighthoods, and Will wants to talk about Johnny Ive and get him over here and muff him because he's in love with Johnny Ive. But Will's back, so it can't be all bad. We'll give him a few minutes to get wet over Johnny. That didn't sound right, did it? Left... Joining us, we've got the fantastic MacCast man, Mr. Adam Christensen. How you doing, mate?
Good. So I'm the token yank who has to represent the American side of things. Is that what's going on?
No, there's no such thing as token yanks, mate. We've got fully fledged yanks on this show. They come on because they're American, not in spite of the fact that they're American. How have you been in the month that's been intervening?
Crazy. It's been crazy, but life's good. I can't complain too much.
That's great. How's the podcast going?
Excellent.
Good man.
We'll find out right in a few minutes.
No, I'm talking about your podcast.
Good crazy month for Mac stuff. Although it's, you know, as it is very often, lots of rumors. We're just waiting for next week.
It is. I mean, there's a certain element where you get rheumatitis. Where it just, you've had enough of it and your itis suddenly becomes inflamed with the rumors.
We get the ointment that is WWDC next week. So
that's
next week or the week after? Week after.
That 2 weeks. Surprisingly close to a lubricating oil.
Yeah.
Next to him, we've got Mr. John Hume taking a break from work. Skiving, mate, or authorized?
This is authorized absence. Yeah.
So,
very much so.
Are you getting paid to podcast?
Yeah, right now I'm actually fully salaried up. It's pretty good.
Damn, that's two of you today. Professional podcasters.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That's me. Very professional.
What you got on the board behind you? You said
trade secrets, possibly, but I daren't turn around and look just in case I.
Well, we can't see them because they're all green anyway. So
That's good. Yeah, it's a big glass green wall. I'm not sure what it's for apart from writing things on. There is quite a funny sign in the corner of the office which says finance smell better than IT, which I assume was written by one of the other companies that we share this building with. But
I've never heard that rumor before. Finance always stink.
Don't normally use this room.
So. No, you can't love the bean counters. Next to John, you've got Mr. Alex G. Fox. How you doing, G-Man?
I'm skiving, if you wanted to know.
Yeah, none of us are getting paid for doing this.
I'll send out a bill, but no one ever pays it. So,
well, you send me a bill, mate, and I'll send you a bill that's of equal value.
I'll send
value.
It to a proper customer.
Yeah, no, that'd be good. Well, what do you mean proper?
Well, someone that pays me.
Who's likely to pay you? Yeah.
Yeah, three hours editing time. I haven't decided what I should have been doing when I send out the bill yet, but I'll work on something.
Yes, that'd be good. Cheers, mate. Thank you very much. Next to him, we've got. Unfortunately, I've got a bit of a hiccup here with the video, but we're sorted now. Mr. Will Green, how you doing, mate? Long time no see.
Hello, this is Don McAllister.
Or not? Your Don McAllister impressions are not improving.
I thought that was pretty good, actually.
Not a lot.
Yes, I'm well. It's nice to be back home.
Where have you been, man?
I've been here, there, and everywhere, to quote the Beatles song. All sorts of luxurious and inspiring places. Doncaster.
You've been to
Tamworth. All sorts of places.
You've been
like
to
that.
Tamworth, and you didn't come and see me. It's only 10 miles.
I know. I should have been. Yeah, no. I've been spending some time in beautiful Tamworth, or the island. That is in the centre of that new sort of industrial estate, you know, where John Lewis and all that is. And London. I've been spending a lot of time in London as well.
Oh, bad luck, mate.
Why didn't you come and see me, Will?
Yeah.
So you're not my mother. I mean,
it's ridiculous. There's only six of us here, mate. You could have come and said hello.
6 million.
Yeah. That's true with London. People say, oh, I live in London, but they actually live, like, south of London or north of London. And London itself isn't that big, is it? Nobody actually lives in London. Everybody lives in Greater London.
Well, if you're talking about the square mile, mate, then...
No, I mean the whole thing itself. You get London City and Central London. Central London, you can pretty much walk from end to end in what? An hour tops.
That's the City of London, which is a completely different place.
No, I'm not talking about that. You get City of London, but really that City of London is part of Central London, so you got the West End and everything else. And I reckon Central London, you could walk from one end of it to the other in about an hour.
Oh, I reckon you're completely wrong, but doesn't matter. You're Will Green.
I reckon if you walk from Euston Station, right, to mm-hmm. Battersea, which is pretty much from the north to the south in an hour. Go on.
You must really walk quick. Oh, don't bet me to do it. If I had to do it, it'd take about a week.
Talking about bets, where's my bloody money anyway? Rankin, where's my money?
Wait, well, hang on.
The length of time for me would probably depend on how many pubs are from one end to the other.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. Now, before you start demanding your money, Greenie.
Yes.
Let's just be very clear that the bet that you made was with Swagger, not with me.
Well, where is he?
Well, I see he is conspicuous in his absence, I will admit.
He certainly is, isn't he? Since the old deadline passed, he's never come on here again, has he?
I'm not sure if you're aware of this, Adam, but we've got a guy called Kyle Swagger who has his cousin works for Apple. And has a completely different name, so it's fairly safe route. And we get a lot of hot tips from his cousin. And Kyle had $40 with 20 with Andy and Atco and 20 with Will Green that there was going to be an Apple TV by the end of May. So he's $40 light at the minute, and he's missing.
So that source is a good one.
He's missing in action.
It's his cousin Tim that works in the kitchen, isn't it?
Yeah, he's also given us the 7-inch MacBook rumor. And he's also told us that the elongated iPhone is bunkum as well. So we shall see.
That's definitely a goer, then.
This last
get your
week,
money on that.
I finally got Gruber to convince me that that's maybe a possibility, but I don't know why.
What, the elongated iPhone?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I kind of came around on it a little bit.
I like it. I think it looks classy. I think that's what makes me think it's real.
Is that called iPhone?
Yeah, I think what sold me on it is the fact that you know, they're saying it's not physically going to be larger. They're just going to cram a larger screen into the current form factor. And I'm cool with that. I mean, if they can do that and not anger developers, then I think, yeah, they'd absolutely, why not do it? But definitely, I don't want to see them doing these 5-inch or what's this new AT&T? AT&T has a new device out. Can't remember who makes it. Samsung, I think. This like Note thing that's like 5.5 inches, 6 inches. I don't know. It's ridiculous. I saw some girl out and about with one, and I'm like, you're really going to stick that thing to your face? It's like, it's this massive.
Yeah, the problem
thing
is, mate, like, when she looks back at you and says, I've stuck worse.
What? Oh, God. they're calling them like, they have some new name for them, too. And now I can't remember what it is. Some sort of phone tablet hybrid thing. I don't know. They look ridiculous.
I don't know what they're called apart from Galaxy Note. That would be...
The marketing line for it is phone, tablet. No, it's Galaxy Note, which
really?
It's just nothing. It's a massive, ridiculous phone.
It means nothing.
So when the marketing department for that, when they opened their paychecks at the end of last month and it just said $0. And
it really should have done.
Here's the tag.
I take my iPhone and I put it in my front pocket, and that's not going in my front pocket unless I get much bigger pants or if I don't do that, then I got to get like a man purse or something.
Just to be sure, before we go any further, Dr. Happy Mac, you're the last member of the panel that we never introduce. We always start off on it before we get to you. I'm so sorry, Andrew. How are you doing, mate?
That's all right. I'm here still. I'm just looking forward to my new supersized Tablone.
they're called phablets, apparently. Phone tablets are phablets.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah. So, sorry, you were saying, Adam, go ahead.
No.
It's a good question. Let's go back to Galaxy Note. There's a lot of people rave about it, and I've got to say, I've had a play with one in the shop, and I'm kind of like, if this was like in my bag and I could just trigger the phone calls by tapping my Bluetooth earpiece, this wouldn't be such a bad idea. And then I can pull it out and play a bit of Angry Birds and then stick it back in, and I can still get my phone calls by hitting me tab or having it on auto-answer. I think it's a bit more of a handbag phone.
Yeah, it's a ladies' phone.
But it's not bad.
But people but like the keyboard on it, I think, because the keyboard for a touchscreen keyboard is a sensible size.
Yeah, well, it's one to one, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, nice. Thanks for my green screen.
Yeah, mate. I've got you and I've got Greeny as well. Greeny's gone on the other side. But he's stood in front of it now.
Damn.
There we go. Fanboys.
I like the green wall. That's good.
But you want the green wall?
Yeah, can I have my wall back?
Oh, okay. Sorry, mate. God.
Sorry.
Blimey, you're picky, you, all right? You're not coming on again.
You're like, I'm sacked. Sacked from my unpaid position.
Already, yes. Oh, you're pretty paid, of course. I can't sack you. No, so the week in news is we had Tim on, didn't we? Tim went on to All Things D and said that they were going to double down on security, which, unless you're a blackjack player, I don't think means a lot. He said also that there was a lot of conjecture and stimulating conversation around the TV market, but he refused to be drawn on it and didn't give out any details. I haven't watched a video of the interview. I've only looked at the stories and the transcripts of it. But did it look like he kind of sat there and said nothing for that period of time? Although there was stuff coming out of his mouth, obviously. But doubling down on security, but being more open about other stuff. Okay, policy. But anyone seen it? Have they watched the video?
I've watched some of it.
And?
Pretty boring. Boring.
I'm sorry, hang on a second. I've got a light in the head because Greeny is more up to date with the news than I am.
It's not exactly news. It was just his opinion, wasn't it? Have you noticed that they've also put a load of them onto iTunes, old Steve Jobs?
They put all the Steve Jobs ones up there. Yeah, it's nice. Yeah. They're all free.
Yeah, they're interesting.
They just want the page views.
They don't get page views through iTunes, though.
It's not advertising associated with the podcast. Wall Street Journal hits, isn't it? So
they're probably the only ones that can get a proper count off of iTunes, though.
They're going to rig it, aren't they? You know they're going to rig it, aren't they? Every time.
Well, he's dead. I can't see how they've refaked it.
I'm fine with that because it's good. I mean, it's good content. If you haven't seen some of those, it is entertaining. The one with, I don't know, I'm sure it's up there. The one with he did with Bill Gates is particularly interesting.
Tim Cook is a lot more polished, I think, when he does interviews like that. He's much more political. He's reminiscent of our sort of New Labour style policy dodging questions. So
are you saying he's Tony Blair?
They ask him questions. Yeah, I think so, because he never answers a question straight ever. he's much more detached from it than Steve ever was, I think. Steve used to be a lot more emotional, whereas Tim Cook is really quite, he's quite detached from it, and he seems to be able to just turn it on and off at will, which is useful for Apple, but it doesn't give us a lot to talk about because he was so polished. He didn't say anything particularly controversial. He just kept his cards very close to his chest, as you would expect him to do. So,
but this is the point, though. He's a business leader. He's not a politician. So, whereas we got a right to complain when our politicians aren't answering questions. I don't think we got any right to complain about Tim Cook. I think what came out of that, above all the fact that he never said anything, was the fact that there was a lot of press coverage about Tim Cook is not Steve Jobs. And I sort of read that, and I've always actually felt really sorry for Tim Cook, because I think Tim Cook is a really, really good Tim Cook. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Do you know, I love Tim Cook's Tim Cook impression.
No, but what I mean by that is the fact that Tim Cook is a very, very astute business leader. He runs a company very well. He's been running that company for a couple of years in reality rather than, the last year. He's not trying to be Steve Jobs. He's not trying to copy someone. But what he is himself is excellent in its own right. And I really do think there comes a point where people have got to – look, you can evangelize Steve Jobs all you want, right? And for a lot of people, he was a visionary. He did a lot of great things for technology, no doubt. But I think these comments about Tim Cook not being Steve Jobs, it should have a positive slant. No, he's not Steve Jobs. But he is a very, very good Tim Cook, and being a very good Tim Cook is a very good thing. It's something that's bugged me for a long time, because as a businessman, I tell you what, there's an awful lot of banks and multinational companies that would do brilliantly if they had someone half as decent as Tim Cook running the company. It's just something I wanted to say.
I thought he did really well. I thought it was, you know, like I said, really polished, really, really smooth. Didn't give away any, you know, he wasn't baited. He didn't get drawn into anything he didn't want to talk about. I thought he did really well. So it was good to see.
He's not one to be hurried.
No.
I agree with that. You know, it's funny when that subject of he's not Steve Jobs or that sort of thing comes up. I also wonder a lot of times and often say to people, well, who would you prefer would have stepped in? You know, looking at the board, I don't know if anybody could have done or can do a better job than Tim is doing.
Well, Sir Johnny Ive.
Sorry, Adam, you're just going to bear in mind here that Will Green has got a somewhat sexual fantasy centered around Jonathan Ive, and I'm not sure why, but there is probably, you know, if he saw him, he would probably pass out. It's that kind of level. So.
Well, I have had women tell me that, you know, he's only in the these are non-technical people, but when I've been watching the, you know, they do those promotional videos sort of when they announce new products, and Ive is often on there talking about design. I had one woman one time tell me, "Oh, they put him in there just because he's right sexy."
Right sexy.
Yeah.
God blimey, you're an Englishman.
He's also
Who else would it have been if it wasn't Tim Cook, though? Because you've got Johnny Ive.
Oh, Phil Schiller, without a doubt.
Phil Schiller?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
One for that's the ladies.
Fatty Phil walks onto stage and he has to stop halfway through his walk.
I bet he can walk from Euston to...
No, he'd float the whole way, mate. He'd be hovering.
Well, they did float things around above Battersea Power Station, but I'm not going to make any reference to what they were.
Go on, Greeny. What are you going to say?
I was going to say, have you seen that? What's the rapper called? Tupac. When he comes back, you know, he's on stage live. Have you seen that?
What on earth has that got to do with the CEO of Apple?
Steve Jobs. The new CEO of Apple could be Steve Jobs again. He could still deliver the keynote. With a bit of Tupac technology. That's what I'm saying.
You do know that Tupac was singing a song that he'd already recorded.
Ah, well, I mean, we can sort of, we can mash it up a bit, can't we? I mean, he's, to be honest, he's spoken enough words over the years.
Oh, Greeny. Oh, you've come out with some crap on this show, but that's the best so far.
He's not crap. It's that could be real. That could be real. He could be there.
Harry Enfield did a good impression. Maybe he could do it.
When the zombie uprising comes, he'll be back. So
no, didn't they burn him?
How can you have a vegan zombie? Doesn't that sort of detract from the point of being a zombie?
Never thought about that.
They will only eat vegetarians. That's the.
Exactly. Do you think the virus overrides the desire though a little bit?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, that would be one worth watching.
The zombie uprising in Cupertino. Carrots, beware.
It's going to be the remake. It's going to be the zombie cabbage eaters. Now, it doesn't have the same ring, does it?
Well, plants versus zombies.
Since I took us off track, I'll pull us back on track because I'm wondering, related to this D thing, did you guys see the post about by, this is a great Apple guy, Mike Daisy, saying that, oh yeah, Tim Cook did well because Swisher and Mossberg didn't ask him any hard questions.
But
do you guys know who Mike Daisy is?
Why is he back in the news again?
Exactly. Livid. Well, I hate this man. Yeah.
He's awful.
Good point.
Were you going to explain who he is?
I shouldn't have brought him up. Well, he's the guy who did the agony and ecstasy of Steve Jobs, and he had said he went over to China and talked to employees and was exposing, you know, what was Apple was doing with Foxconn. And it later came out after he was on the great NPR podcast or show here, This American Life. They found out that he had sort of, basically lied about a lot of the things that he was. He did a show, like a one man show, and it was for theater. And then he kind of translated that, started going on all these news programs and, you know, saying he went these places. And it later came out that it was creative artistic license, and really a lot of it wasn't actually true. So he was pretty much discredited. So yeah, it sounds like he's trying to, I would buy the thing, which I think Swisher and Mossberg both came back out on Twitter and said, yeah, he's just trying to get back in the news. I think he, Swisher's tweet,
he will respond, guys, to you as well if you bait him on Twitter about it.
You have lit the blue touch Daisy paper in the chat room,
yeah,
with Daisy.
He will. Definitely go for it, everyone in the chat room. Feel free. He does a vanity search on his name. You don't even have to tweet at him. And he'll respond to you with as much abuse as you can give.
I'm giving him more.
Daisy, give me your answer, do. Don't encourage him. The tosser believes that stuff,
you know,
and it's not stuff that's been written down. What the WTF, I nearly said it then, is Daisy in the news again for? He's a fantasist. Him and his fake journalism, grrr, says Milsom. Oh, yeah, right. Figures, says Teresa. And I can't even read what Pete's written down. There isn't a single word in that sentence.
I've incited Riot in the chat room. I can go home now.
Oh, the bleep C word is kicking around in there. So, yes, definitely not a good guy then. There is a certain point, though. Sorry to just jump in here, but there's a certain point as well with Mossberg. I like a lot of what Mossberg writes, but he's got like a fawn switch that kicks in whenever he's talking to anyone from Apple. And when Jobs was on and he was doing it, I get the fact that there is a bit of a love in between Apple and Mossberg, fair enough. But there's a certain element where, you know, I watched him ream the guy from Google with some really difficult questions over the Bloom stuff a few years back. And he just suddenly turns into, so what questions can I ask you now? And I don't know whether he's being manipulated because Apple are saying, right, unless you give us the questions, unless you give us the parameters, unless you decide, you promise not to go after them, we aren't even coming on stage, or whether he genuinely just fawns over them.
No, I think it's a little of both, you know, and I can, Apple definitely, you can get on the bad side of Apple PR and, you know, not that there is much of a good side in terms of like getting communication. I mean, they're always very secretive, but if you can get in and there's a few journalists that have gotten in, I think you want to sort of do everything you can to maintain that sort of good graces. And when you go the other way, you can ask some people, you know, ask Leo Laporte, ask some other people who have done the, you know, in some way in Apple's mind, wronged or slighted them media wise. And you become real quick persona non grata with Apple and you get nothing. Yeah. So, you know, so the problem with somebody like Mossberg or, you know, Swisher and those guys is, yeah, they're playing the game with Apple, but you have to question, if you're playing the game, are you really doing your duty as a journalist? And so as much as I hate Daisy, for him to mention that, I think is not outside the realm of, you know, a question you should be asking yourself when you watch these interviews. Because you're absolutely right. If you watch some of the other D coverage, they're definitely harder nosed with some different CEOs and people. So you in the back of your mind, it's running there. And because of how Apple is as a company, I think it's a legitimate question.
I mean, Teresa in the chat room says that she likes Mossberg as a tech writer, but she doesn't believe he's an interviewer, which is an interesting separation in journalistic terms, because there's a definite skill to both ends of it.
Yeah, but also
go ahead, Alex. I got the feeling Greeny's going to say something that we can finish off with.
No, it's simply, you know, there is only one Apple, right? And it's like there's only one Queen of England, right? Going back to that subject, if you want to interview the Queen of England, she's going to dictate what you ask her because there's nowhere else to go. There is no one else to talk to. If you want to talk to a bank, there's 500 banks. You can be as rude as you want and they'll all come and they'll all have a go. You can look at other tech firms. There's only one biggest company in the world at the moment. There's only one company making waves and making money hand over fist on the whole planet. And they are going to call the shots. Apple don't need that interview. Tim Cook does not need that interview. Apple don't even need to speak to us. They'll do WWDC or whatever they want to do. They'll do their two announcements a year and the whole world will queue up to watch or listen or beg, borrow, or steal. You know, we sit in a pub, in the basement of a pub, hoping that we'll get some feed from somewhere across the world just to listen to a company announce possibly a slight update to a phone. There is no other person or company in this world that needs journalism less than Apple. So
say it that way,
call the shots.
Make us all sound insane.
Well, we are.
Yeah, we are.
That's why I'm predominantly a photographer. But, you know, they're the only people on the planet that can do that. And why they can do that, I don't blame them. Why play the game that everyone else has to play where you can click your fingers and say, ask me that, it makes me look good. Ask me that. If you ask me something I don't like, I'm going to go to the next person who's then going to get the highest ratings they've ever had for an interview.
Greeny, you had a point.
Well, I don't want to say it now, do I?
Dear.
Why not?
Because you said my point would be rubbish.
No, I said your point. I felt that your point was probably going to be something that we could end on.
All right.
Get the last word.
I'm getting your last word, exactly, yeah.
Okay, well, it's a podcasting point, really. Look, if you get really close to the camera, you look older, and if you go far back, you look a lot younger.
Apart from the second chin.
Oh, I'll do that then.
It's called soft focus, Will.
It's good, isn't
it's
it?
It's called out of focus.
It's actually out of focus, but yeah, I'm trying to be polite. You can put a pair of tights over the camera. It does the same thing.
Yeah, but better if you didn't have this fanboy thing. It looks good against the green. If I go back, I reckon
well,
I could
pass.
We've
got the green against the fanboy here.
Look, if I go back here, I reckon, what, late 30s? But if I go here, or mid 40s. You know what I mean? That's it, really. That's my point, really.
Do you want, I can lose the fanboy. There you go. It's gone, mate. Disappeared.
Late 30s. That's really weird.
What would you like behind you for the rest of the show, mate?
A lady with a large pair of knockers.
Johnny, okay, they'll have to be covered, unfortunately, but I shall verify that this is possible. I'll do it while we're talking. Next point.
Oh, no.
Go on.
Can I have a still from Carry On Camping?
Carry On Camping, I shall do that. Right. Cook double downs on Siri, allegedly. Doubling down is where you just say, right, I'm going to throw my hat in the ring here and whatever comes, and I'm going to double me bet, effectively. They're saying that they're really backing it in the next iteration. Has Siri got that kind of future?
It's got potential.
Yeah.
It's very frustrating for us here in the UK to use it. I think it certainly seems to work a bit better in the States because they've got more information plugged into it. So it's pretty limited for us at the moment. But it kind of works. If they can plug some more stuff into it and actually give it more feeds and more information than it can disseminate to people, then surely then it's got a chance. But
it's great for setting a timer or an alarm.
Yeah, I don't know about you guys. I don't really talk to my phone very much. I don't really even use my phone for calling people very much. So
it's a gimmick. You know it's a gimmick. Let's be honest. It's the crappy gimmick that should never have been included. That's what it is.
When it can start talking back to you like something out of HAL 2000 or something, then it will be good.
Yeah.
No, that'll be good. That'll be Siri. You get up in the morning and say, how was your night's sleep? And you can have a proper conversation with it.
And how far away is that then, Alex?
About a week. It'd probably go through to some call centre in India and it'll just be talking to you with a Siri accent or something and you'll think it's brilliant.
It's terrible. We all know it's rubbish.
I don't know anyone that's used it for more than a couple of weeks after they first got it and thought, yeah, that's really exciting. And then they thought, oh, bloody thing goes off every time I bend over because of it's in my pocket. And it's going, sorry, I don't understand you. And it basically, you end up arguing with it most of the time.
It's the equivalent of face recognition in iPhoto, isn't it? It really is. It's just annoying and useless.
It's not completely useless. I mean, you do... It's just like the faces in iPhoto, which is an excellent thing. Is you open your Mac and you click on it and you show somebody that hasn't got a Mac or hasn't seen Siri before and you say, look at this! And they go, oh my God, that's awesome! And then you never use it again. Ever.
Mm.
Wow, I actually use it a couple times a week.
That's because it works for you though, Adam. That is a point.
I mean, I use it mostly for... replying to texts when I'm in the car. So if I get a text, I'll do the whole, you know, read my text thing and reply. And that for me works fairly well. And I get a lot of cabin noise and I don't use a Bluetooth headset. So I'm just using the built-in mic. I've got it on a little stand and You know, it works surprisingly well. You know, I will agree, and I think Paul Kafasis from Rogue Amoeba, he has a blog, onefoottsunami.com, I believe is the URL. He did a little piece on Siri and the frustrations. And for sure, you can. There are a lot of those moments of, no, cancel that. And what's the other one? Oh, change it is my favorite one. You can say change it, and it will, especially when you're doing a text or an email, and it will allow you to go back and sort of start over. I wish there was a way. One thing that would make it infinitely better if it would get smarter about being able to change a specific word or a specific sentence or something like that. But beyond that, you know, I've been fairly happy with it. And I said this on my podcast. I think Apple's biggest problem with Siri is, you know, they came out when they introduced it and they say, hey, this is beta, which they almost never release anything that's beta, which is one thing that's very unusual. But then on top of it, they are not treating it like beta. They're treating it like a finished product in terms of the marketing, in terms of the promotion. I mean, the ad campaigns that they're doing are heavy and really overselling it as a beta feature. But I think because of what you are talking about in terms of it sells phones. It certainly sells phones, you know. So even if it ends up just being a marketing thing, for Apple, they're taking it to the bank.
I bought a 4S on the basis that I really wanted to try it. And I play with it a little bit, but I've nowhere near worked out some of the potential for it, I'm sure. And I could do with a real, like an instruction video. Here's what Siri can do. Here's how to get it to do those things.
Well, there's a guy on the network that does things like that.
There is a bloke, yeah. I can't remember his name, though.
No, he's not here. Can't dig him up.
Charged a fortune, though.
Yeah, true. It's not even a trouble. The fact that they called it beta, as I would have called it, It sounds to me that they had a bit of technology, which some of which they bought in anyway, but they've got this technology that they know is the future. They know it is really exciting and it will get people buzzing, but they also know it's pretty crap. But they don't want to hold on to it for another 2 years until they get it right. So if we call it beta or beta, then we can put it out there with the built-in excuse of, look, it's not bad, but it's only beta. So, you know, up with it, you know, you're getting something early, but it's not quite ready. I think it's like an excuse. It's strange that Apple did it because it's not Apple's way, but it's such a big game changer, if you like. Not that they needed to change the game, so a game advancer, that it was worth putting out something that was slightly mediocre because of the future possibility, and it's got Apple's name on it. So you've got Apple's idea, even though it wasn't really there to start off with. It, you know, the idea's been out for a while. So call it beta, knowing it's pretty crap, but knowing that it's going to give you... It's like calling the iPhone the iPhone. HP made things. They weren't phone, but they were little tiny tablet computers, you know? People had done it before, but maybe not put a phone in it. But you rebrand it, call it beta or beta, and then away you go. It buys you 5 years of being ahead of the game.
I mean, Tim Cook's not going to sit in front of Mossberg and go, hey, look, we know it's crap, but...
Not in that accent, no.
Well, that was my Tim Cook impression. It's pretty close.
but, I mean, how do you push technology forward? This is certainly one way to do it. I mean, you throw it out there and you get a lot of feedback, and who was doing really much with voice in before Apple threw Siri out there, and how many people are now trying to even copy? I mean, we call it garbage, but how many people are trying to copy the garbage? And it's not, they're pushing the technology forward because you end up with competition. You end up with people saying, well, this isn't right and that isn't right. And, you know, a lot of things don't get moved forward because we simply don't push the envelope or push technology out there. And Apple has to get a lot of credit for releasing stuff, and it's not just, you know, things like Siri. I mean, they've done lots of technology in the past. USB was out and floundering until Apple put it on an iMac and said, this is what we're going to use for the interface. And then suddenly USB, you know, goes ballistic and gets better and improved. So you got to start somewhere. And I frankly think this is a really good start. And if anybody can point me to something better than Siri that's doing this sort of natural language parsing, and I know it doesn't work for everybody and accents are a problem, but all of these things have to get worked out, and it's just, that's going to take time. So again, I think Apple's biggest problem is that they're promoting it so heavily that people think it's more than it is. I think rightly so.
I think the one thing that I agree with you there most definitely is I like the way that Apple do things, in the fact that until it's releasable, they don't say it's coming out. There's no teaser campaign that comes with them. Tim Cook stands up, he says, this is what's happening, away you go. And the rumours are generated by us, not by Apple by any stretch, unless there's a few leaks here and there just to kind of promote or gauge response. You look at Google today, they're talking about, well, we could possibly put Project Glass into a set of contact lenses, and just think what you could do if it was in a set of contact lenses. And they're talking about all these potential concepts going forwards. Guys, stop. And I had a huge amount of Twitter ping pong this morning with a guy. I was like, build the glasses thing first. Get glasses working. Show us that glasses is a product. Show us there's something that's going to enhance the human race going forwards. Then we'll start talking about the contact lenses. But you still haven't done glass. Glass looks like a pile of crap.
That's a classic Google move, though, isn't it?
To exactly.
Bring out loads of things that are half finished, wait and see what sticks, and then kill them if they don't take off. That's just what they do.
Well,
that's
they're killing their, an awful lot at the minute.
I mean, they've really cleaned house in the last 12 months. I don't know, it must be more than 10 projects that have gone into the bin at least. So everything, they seem to be having a real clear up at the moment of
Google
stuff.
Google's struggling to do something that's not crap at the moment.
Yeah,
but it's tricky. I mean, at the moment, right, in the world, and you've got a third player, right, you were talking about innovation. Now, you had innovation in technology came from the military, from medical, and now we've got a third way, which seems to be Apple. But I mean, you were saying like Siri and who's using voice. I would suggest that the medical research into disability and voice recognition for disabled and things like that, Apple have taken a if you like, they've brought it to the wider public.
Mm.
You know, but so many of these technologies, you know, I mean, half of what we use these days, I mean, the fact that we're talking now, we're talking probably via some satellite that's doing something to the internet or something, that's purely because somebody wanted to drop a bomb or someone wanted to spy on someone 25, 40 years ago, whenever it was. So you've got three players now, but to say Apple and Siri and all this sort of business, I think there was an awful lot of medical research and an awful lot of university time and an awful lot of money spent previously to Apple getting on board in this. What Apple have done very well, they've put it onto a small operating system on a tiny device, which means hundreds of millions, if not billions of people at some time are going to be able to use it. But the technology itself, the idea and the concept and so much of that has been done. What they've done very well is moved it on. And that's sort of where I'd go with Siri.
Yeah, they've commercialized it.
Yeah, that's the word I was really struggling to find. You're right.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think the cost of it is interesting as well. Like, it's not even that expensive. I know that smartphones, you know, are fairly expensive. When you think about other new technologies that have launched in the not so distant future and past, even, sorry, that, you know, there's not a big. I don't think the cost of entry is particularly high when you consider how advanced it is and how advanced smartphones are in general, based on like the early PCs and the money people were paying for that. It's vastly more powerful and flexible than any of that was. And I think people judge them a bit harshly, I think, smartphones. It's incredible, some of the stuff, even though some of the ideas are a bit half-baked. I think the things we can do with it are amazing. So it's interesting, I think, to look at it like from a bit of a distance. 5 years ago, we didn't even really have touchscreen phones. So,
yeah. Can we go back to the glasses thing? Because this just really bugs me. Because I this stuff comes on you know, online. And you see the videos and there's images showing up. And I mean, are any of us really going to walk around with these dorky glasses on our face? And how does this help, you know, our social thing? I'm constantly telling people to get out from behind the keyboard and go like meet and interact with people. But so we're going to go out now, but we're not really going to interact with anybody because we're going to be half interacting with them.
Oh, no, you already know their name as you're walking towards them.
Virtual glasses thing. So we're all walking around and they show these pictures of these, you know, a bunch of Google engineers sitting at a lunch with, they all have these glasses on and I'm going, really? This is the future that we want? I'm not sure I want that future.
Between the way it is now. The
Say
only
again,
difference
John,
between
we
that and the current
that,
situation is that you can see where you're going. I was going to say the only difference between that future that you're, that utopian future where we don't talk to each other, and now, is that at least you'll know where you're walking and you won't trip over people because you're not looking at your smartphone. So it's the amount of phone or on the tube, like no one talks to each other anymore, and it's we already have that problem. I think we're way past the point with that.
Look, if you want to meet someone and not talk to them, just marry them.
Well, joke. Okay,
so, I'm joking.
Now I have to throw out my Pixar theory, my Pixar Apple theory, and because it's just this is coming true. If you want to know what Apple's doing in the future, I have this theory that you just watch Pixar films, because there's a scene in I believe it's The Incredibles where, and this came out before the MacBook Air came out, where he gets this little tablet computer that comes in a manila envelope, right? So then years later, we get Apple with that same kind of marketing.
Oh, yes.
And technology. And so this us looking at our screens all the time, before Apple did the iPad and all these other things, they had WALL-E. And if you watch WALL-E, you got a bunch of people that are floating around with screens sitting next to each other, not interacting with each other. So that's the future. So Apple sort of decides what the future is going to be and then brings out the technology to enable that future, which is just a scary thing to think about. So
maybe it's a subliminal thing. You know, they used to talk about subliminal advertising, which never really existed. Maybe that's what they do. It's subliminal. You put the idea into someone's head by making a film, and then we're all ingratiated by the technology when it comes out because we feel we've already seen it.
Yeah.
I didn't like WALL-E very much.
You didn't like
it? It was
WALL-E.
A bit dull, wasn't it?
No, or Chicken Run.
Chicken Run wasn't Pixar.
That was the same thing, though, isn't it? Let's be honest, same thing.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
And also, what's the one where the house went up with a load of balloons on?
That's what I was thinking.
Is that what's coming out next? The Eye Up, the house that floats from Apple.
It was really sad, that was, wasn't it? It was a sad film.
Do you like your background now, Mr. Green?
What I want.
Carry on camping. There we go.
What's wrong with the next frame?
Siri's going to understand dog, and they're going to have dog collars, and our dogs will be able to talk back to us.
Oh, that's
good. Is my hand right there, Ewan?
It's down, left. There we go. Now we've got it. Perfect.
He's obviously not a meteorologist.
No.
Honk. That was fun, wasn't it?
He's an ologist of some things.
Never mind.
Go on. Greeny, you better say
something. I was going to say, what were we talking about? It was Siri, wasn't it?
It was.
And that was about it, really, wasn't it?
So you got no comment on Siri?
Except it's not very good. It doesn't work on my 3GS particularly well.
Now, as an interlude, we ran a competition a couple of weeks ago, and you had 2 weeks to send in your suggestions as to the caption that existed between John Boner and Tim Cook, and this was the picture. Here we go. And we said, write in some speech bubbles, and we'll give a prize away for the best entries. So we've got three winners, and the three winners are... I can't remember the person's name, I've lost it. Job's last request was that all Republican and Democrats were sandboxed. Do you get my meaning? And Boner says, yes, I can do. Pete wrote in and said, so Mr. Cook, please show us your huge package. And the winner by a long way was this one from someone who said, hi Cock, hi Boner. And then Boner says, let's remember not to let Siri speech dictation arrange our meeting in future. Sure thong. You're the winner. You get it. We'll do another one in a couple of weeks. Free copy of Camtasia 2 going out to that person.
Ooh,
I've lost their name. I've got the name. I'll put the name up in the show notes. I'm sorry. We're going to do show notes. We're going to do show notes on the blog. So watch the space. We're going to finally crack show notes, I hope, this week. Any other Apple news? Let's do a quick rumour mill roundup, and you can just do a yay, nay. TV? Adam?
Not now. I think eventually.
There will be a TV eventually.
I think so.
Ooh.
Johnny Boy. It's about the content.
Johnny Boy.
My head says no, but my heart says yes, please. My dog ate my remote control from my TV this week. I need a new one, and I'm waiting to see if anything happens, but I honestly think I'm going to be waiting forever.
Yeah, no, okay. Your heart really wants to be parted with twice the price of a normal television.
If it's good and it's like Adam said, if it's got the content, then I'm interested. I think what would be interesting as well to see is what the difference in content will be if they make it a global product. They might have trouble actually releasing it worldwide. It might be a US only thing. So
yeah, it's going to be NTSC only, right?
Oh, bugger. Foxy?
Yeah, I think there will be, but I think it will be iPad technology in a big flat Mac, iMac type screen. So basically you'll have the best of both worlds. I don't think you'll get anything down the line as in NTSC. I think it'll all come via iTunes, but iTunes will be it will have TV channels rather than having to download. It will be, you know, like we do, you press a button and you'll play live. You won't necessarily, it will just be streaming.
It's always going to buffer.
Well, you know, I think they work on better compression ratios. You'll basically have a dedicated, dedicated cable line, but not sending TV channels, just literally giving you 50 meg to the internet, and that will be it. But that will be it. It will be iOS on a great big sort of Mac screen, and you'll be able to do all the other stuff that you can do on an iPad. You might even use an iPad as a remote control, and it might just mirror it. But, you know, that's where I think it's going.
So the original question was TV, yes or no?
Yes.
Thank you. Greeny, based on the value, 20 bucks lighter. Thank you. Right. What's the time
not
going on?
Not a chance. Not a bloody chance.
Never.
No. It's
45 minutes. Go ahead, Chris. Carry on.
I mean, why would they do it? But your iPad can stream via your Apple TV. Your iPhone can stream with Mountain Lion. Your Mac will be able to stream to your Apple TV and onto your regular TV. Just makes absolutely zero sense. I think it's more opportunity of a SETI with an Apple logo coming on from Apple than there is going to be a TV.
A SETI's a couch, by the way, Adam.
Yeah, just, no, I got that.
Okay. Dr. Happy Mac, based on the fact that you are going to repair these things when they cock up, and you would like this as a new market, I would hope, but your honest opinion? You're still on mute, old boy?
He's happy, though, isn't he? That's the main thing.
He can't get off mute. He's stuck.
Oh, bloody hell.
There we go. Thank God you only came in with bloody hell.
I'd forgotten there was noise going on outside the studios. I've changed my mind. I don't think... I thought yes, and now I think no.
Right. Thank you for that succinct answer. My only thought is...
type stuff.
I mean, I'd love to be a yes as well, John. I'm with you on that one. I'm a psycho for spending money. But... the only thing that makes me think is, in the R&D dollar at Apple, where is it currently going? Because I would think there's two areas. Siri is one of them, but I think the other one is the resolution independence brainchild. And there has got to be something coming that says, right, we're going to talk about content, but we've got to stick that content in as many outlets as we possibly can. We've got iPod Touch, iPhone, we've still got Nano to a certain degree, we've got... Apple TV, but what about this resolution independence? Because the iPhone 5 rumors are talking about longer, thinner iPhone 5, and unless they announce that at WWDC and give the developers time to understand what the impact is on their current applications, they've either got to do that, or there's got to be a bit of jiggery pokery that says, do you know what, if you define certain areas with resolution independence, you haven't got to worry about where your controls go, because it knows the difference between a 3.4 screen and a 4-inch screen, and if you're on the 4-inch screen, it changes the location for you by the resolution independence.
Yeah.
It's terrifying.
It could. But that's what I'm saying. I think the two big areas of spend for Apple in terms of R&D have got to be Siri and resolution independence. And that's the key part. And you never know what they could do with displays once they get that cracked.
I really hope they do it properly if they end up doing that, a longer screen, and give us a bit of time to adjust to it.
I like it. I think it looks elegant.
It's just the problem that we've got is I've got an app that's been in literally the final testing stage this minute. It's being done right now, and it's going to go in the store next week. In a couple of weeks when if they change it and they don't do it in an elegant way. I think that's what I'm really hoping. Obviously, most of the stuff they do is very good. The way that they doubled the resolution on both sides so that apps could be backwards compatible was great. But let's hope that this is treated with the same, you know, forethought. I'm sure it will be, but it's still a worry.
I have a theory about the larger screen, if I may. I mean, if they put in, you know, an updated processor, and I mean a proper updated processor, if you then turn your iPhone into landscape, what would be excellent is if you could actually do multitasking with having two separate screens. So maybe a split screen. You could have your game and you could have your text, email, whatever open. So with that extra size, if you could flip it around and the processor had enough power to do like you do on a desktop. So proper multitasking where you could actually have two programs running and usable at the same time, that would be an excellent use for the longer screen.
Mm. Basically, you'd be just a little teeny tiny Mac in your hands.
Well, isn't that where they're going? What I feel they're doing with the software and Mountain Lion and everything, the integration, they're, if you like, they're dumbing down the Mac experience, and they're whatever the opposite of dumbing down is. I can't think you can dumb up, but they're raising the experience on an iPad and an iPhone. And I think the idea is that they will meet in the middle somewhere.
If there's one podcast on the planet, mate, and in iTunes that could prove the concept of dumbing up, it's us.
We've done it. We've done it.
We have that accolade.
Can I mention on the longer screen thing? So I had said earlier that I sort of came around because of the Gruber piece and going back to, you know, what are they going to do for app developers? And this is one of the reasons why I came around is he points out that the current iPhone is already set up and the operating system is already set up to elegantly handle extra pixels in the single dimension. Most iOS apps are expected to be able to scale to a certain degree. And the thing that he points to is that double height menu bar that comes up when you're on a phone call and you switch apps. If you look at Apple's built-in apps or Apple's apps, they just sort of squish down, and they don't squish in terms of distort. They squish in terms of the UI controls just tighten up their spacing between them a little bit to kind of fit those extra pixels and to allow that bar to exist up there at the top. And so if you're using the native UI controls that are in Xcode and things like that right now, your app should naturally scale. We're only talking about another 176 pixels or something like that. It's not a huge amount. So that's sort of what turned me around to say, oh yeah, they could do a longer screen and fit it into that space. And it's probably going to be fine for most app developers. The one exception would be games. And in that case, you could do sort of a black boxing kind of thing, at least temporarily, until game developers can kind of redo their assets. But for, you know, apps that are using sort of the native built-in UI controls that are provided to them, it should be able to handle it fairly seamlessly without a lot of effort. So that's why I kind of came around on that rumor.
iPhone finally elongated screen, yay, nay. Greeny?
I think so. I was watching a video this morning about, they've got a picture of it, haven't they? Not the whole video, but just the top part of it, and they're placing it over the regular iPhone. It seems a bit odd, though, doesn't it? I mean, what should we do with it? Oh, we'll make it longer. You know what I mean? Doesn't seem quite right, really, does it?
No, I think it is right.
Yeah, it is right.
Well, how do you two know?
No, I just think it's because the elongation of it takes the phone now to a far better ratio. It's close to 16:9, which is where movies are going to want to be watched if you're on the fly as well. Podcasts like this are going to be 16:9. Ours is already that. It would fit the ratio excellently anyway. There's so much that would happen at that ratio. And if they've found a way of dealing with applications and how they translate between the two ratios, I think it's a done deal.
Won't all the applications get like long? Won't all they get taller? All your Angry Birds will be like a bit thinner.
Well, one thing I think. Go ahead.
Sorry. I was just going to say, I think games are going to be black box. And again, I think UI controls, you know, for other types of apps, lists and things like that, you get a little more white space and padding, which actually from a design perspective can be more aesthetically pleasing. And I'm also with you on the content thing. I think, you know, Apple is making content plays in the video and movie areas. And so a 16:9 aspect ratio makes a lot more sense for that type of content. And if that's where they're moving forward into more media, you know, all those things are kind of lining up to sort of say, yeah, this makes sense to go to this form factor.
I think one of the things that struck me, and I've just fired up Stick Cricket here as an example, Greeny, because I know you like it.
But I got a tweet from that chap the other day.
Well, he's got a new Stick version Cricket coming out. But here's Stick Cricket, look. And if you look at the way that plays, if that was elongated with just padding at the sides, it would make virtually no instance at all to it. And also, you don't play games very much at the bottom and at the top. So if you took a standard game and just stretched it as a crop factor, that lower part of the screen there isn't particularly used anyway.
It's is that stick cricket? I mean, they're sticks. Not going to make that much difference, is it?
Well, you go and get your applications out and look at the games that you play, and you see how many of them use pixels at the extreme at the top and bottom of the screen. There's not a lot. There's very little, and cropping wouldn't make a huge difference, I would say.
Well, we both got rather large heads, and I think for the video part of this, it would be good, actually, wouldn't it? It'll thin us up a bit, won't it?
There you go, look. Angry Birds
You're
Space.
You're right, yes.
They don't use... You don't touch the screen at the top and bottom, hardly at all. So I don't think it would make a huge difference to a lot of even existing games that are out there in terms of control interface. They'd look crap, but I reckon a lot of them you'd still be able to play. You might miss some information at the top, like the number of killer eagles that you've got left and that kind of thing, but you could still physically play that whether you were at a wider screen or not. There's an awful lot of games. I noticed that the other day. There's an awful lot of games that follow that kind of mold.
As long as they involve stick characters.
No, look, you get your apps out and you see how many apps actually, when you turn them landscape, utilise the extremes of the top and bottom of the screen. There's not a lot, I promise you.
Good, we'll get your apps out.
Yeah, you see, Adam's looking. He's doing research. See, that's what committed journalists
do. I'm replying to Storm in the chat. He says there won't be stretching or cropping. There'll be letterboxing, and that's what I think will happen.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's just for games and things like that.
I think Will.
You said exactly Rankin. You didn't say that a minute ago. You're changing your opinion as you...
Stop. Go back to when I talked about movies. If you play a video at 16:9 on your iPhone, it comes out in letterbox. So what you do is you double tap it and it brings it up to the... What have I started? Oh, there we go. I've got another one to bleep out now. How long have we been going? About an hour. All right, there we go. But if you double tap the screen, it opens it out to fill the space. I think what you're going to get with an app is the same kind of thing. The app will open out, and you might miss information, but there'll be context in there that you can still use because it doesn't use controls at the extreme. So there you go.
How about subtitles?
Missing information. Any solution that Apple rolled out where an app opened up and something wasn't on the screen or was off the screen or whatever, that's just not going to happen. Not going to happen.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I think he's saying you have the option just like you would with video. So it would be letterboxed, or you could choose to have it letterboxed.
No, I don't think you choose that. I don't think there'll be any solution that means that you lose the stuff.
Interesting. Yeah.
No. There's no way Apple are going to allow that to get out the door.
I'm kind of with you there.
I think it just comes down to it's a waste of real estate not doing it, because they always can keep shrinking the phone. And you're talking about the glass is no different, so the glass doesn't change, the thickness of the phone doesn't change. You're talking about, Dr. Happiness can know, how thick is the actual, not the glass part of the screen, but the actual LED or whatever it's made of part of the screen? I mean, it's got to be...
a couple of millimetres.
So all you're talking about is taking away a couple of millimetres underneath this glass panel from where the button is and where the earpiece is. You're talking about virtually nothing. The only thing I would be worried about, and not so much worried, but how do you have a front-facing video camera if it's going to be underneath a screen?
Good point.
And, you know, maybe even the earpiece. Where does that go? But, you know, maybe they'll put them right at the top and still leave a very thin sliver, maybe sort of 5mm, 10mm at the top, and then go right down to the bottom. But it is literally just a waste of real estate. It's like having an iMac where they don't bother taking the screen to the end. They just give you black bars on the edge.
According to this week's rumours, though, Alex, the Apple are going to micro USB and the earphone jack is going on the bottom, if you believe the pictures that have been out there, which they were good pictures, I have to say.
I think the biggest competitor, I think it's one of the Samsungs, or it might even be an HTC, the biggest competitor to the iPhone has the largest screen. And there's enough free research out there by the people that haven't bought an iPhone and bought one of those to say, you know what, people like that. It's not like Apple are bringing it out and trying it with a few hundred people secretly in some campus somewhere. There's hundreds of thousands of people out there with a screen of that size and that ilk and saying, you know what, that's better screen than the iPhone. So, you know, I think the research has been done by various other companies that have already produced it.
I find it all rather sad, really. Not depressing, because I wouldn't get depressed about this. But if you think about, so all of the Macs, right? So we had this big range of beige Macs, and then we had the Johnny Ive Bondi Blue Mac, and then we had the sort of we've had the sort of the cube, and we've had the ball stick and square Mac, and we've had all these really, really interesting Macs, right? And I know we're talking about the iPhone, appreciate that, but they're almost, from a design point of view, corner themselves. So your Mac now is going to get, it's going to be made of aluminium, it's going to be thinner, it's going to be faster. The iPhone is probably going to get slightly bigger over the years and faster. It's a bit depressing, it's a bit boring, isn't it? Did you not find this a bit boring, really? Or is it just me?
No, you're right.
Just me.
Yeah. Maybe that's what they're going to do. They're going to bring out an iPhone where you've got like a little pad in your hand and it comes up on a 3-inch stick and then it's 4 inches fat, but it's a beautiful orange colour. I think that's the way to go. I think you've got it.
It's got to be at the moment, it seems to me they've lost their creativity. Everything is made of aluminium. Everything is getting smaller and everything is getting faster. What's the fun in that? That's what I ask you. What is the fun in any of that?
I think the dilemma that they're having is they know that the future is that the hardware all goes away at some point, right? We don't have hardware. We have Siri and we have voice control and we have some little thing that's in our pocket or on our wrist, like a watch and, you know.
Google glasses.
And we have glasses, yeah. So, like, this stuff all goes away. There's not an actual physical thing that you hold in your hand. So why would you want to keep designing something that is, is just going to disappear?
I don't agree with you because it's like throwing away thousands of years.
Hopefully that can come across.
But
not in my lifetime, I don't think that's happening.
I think the thing is that really, I mean, physically, things that are beautiful have always been beautiful. We love making furniture. We love designing things. We love making and owning physical objects. And if something remains the same for such a long time, which the back line has been pretty much since the iPhone 1. It hasn't really changed at all, really. If I look back at the iPhone 1, I'm pretty much doing exactly the same thing with my new iPhone that I was doing with the very first one. I mean, where's the design? Where's the innovation in that?
You're not known for being cutting edge, though, Greeny, be fair.
It's because I don't know. It's
your man
all
who wears
quality.
A smoking jacket and a fez to do his video podcast. That's just...
it's evening dress, I'll have you know.
And an evening dress.
You know, I'll share with you a story because this is hilarious. I had a friend who used to take the bus to work in Portland, Oregon, and you'd always get these interesting characters on the bus. And he had his iPhone, I think his iPhone out, and was doing some stuff on it. And this guy gets on and he leans over and just out of the blue, he says, you know what's wrong with computers and smartphones and stuff like that? They need hair. And that was just it. That was the end of the conversation. So maybe they can make one with hair.
No one's made
some nice blue fur.
No one has made a hairy iPhone thing, have they? That's the market right there.
But I'm thinking
it looked like a sporran.
Just on the fact that I've sworn, by the way, I've just remembered that I did bleep the swear word of Chris Forsman last week and then forgot to bleep my swear word that came afterwards. So if anyone was offended by what was in there, I do apologise. But by the time I put it out, we'd had 12,000 downloads of the podcast by the time I changed it. So it was just kind of pointless at that figure. So
yeah, you can't.
I do apologise. This podcast and the fantastic debates that happen right across the network, the wonderful shows that we've got 12 shows now that go out on the network, and the bandwidth of them, it's all picked up by UK2.net. They really do look after us. They took me to the Marussia F1 factory yesterday, and I went and looked at the F1 cars being prepared to be taken to Canada for next week's Grand Prix. Absolutely fantastic trip around. Thank you, UK2, for dragging me along to that, because I really enjoyed it. And a special thank you to Marussia. We're talking to them about doing a little bit more in the future with the F1 podcast with them. So there'll be something in the offing. Keep your ears peeled. If you want to support us, please support UK2. They've been a supporter of us now for 3 years. Even when we had no listeners hardly at all, they looked after us. So it's kind of payback a little bit for them now that we're far more successful, and it really does make a world of difference to them. We're providing them with return on investment, I think the phrase is used. Please go to the UK2 website, but don't go direct. Use our website. If you get the tracking link click through from our website, britishtechnetwork.com, click on the logo, that takes you through. When you put in your offer code, they know that we sent you. So on that basis, we get kudos for it. And then the offer codes that you can put in, you've got British Tech, and then you've just got to add on the end DNS, domains, VPS, VPN, and so on, and you'll get... you'll get the discount that they provide, and some of it, it's up to 20% off your basket price. So it's well worth having. Well worth having. Please support UK2 because they support us and we love them to bits. Right. Have we got some cool things? Mr. Christensen, do you have something for us?
Oh, shoot. No, I don't. Okay. Come around back to me. I'll come up with something.
Johnny boy, what have you got?
It's not strictly a Mac product, but it works really well with my Mac, my iPhone, my iPad, and everybody else in my house's devices as well. I recently got a Sonos Play 3, which is a beautiful multi-room speaker system, or the beginnings of a speaker system anyway. It's the first unit that I've had from them, and it's absolutely fantastic. So plug a little white cube into your router, put the Sonos speaker somewhere else in your house where you want to listen to music, and you get a remote app for iPhone, iPad, and Mac. And it's all just been updated recently, and they look fantastic. And it's really, really simple, and I use it with Spotify, and it plays beautifully straight from my Spotify account without any sending required from the device.
Put a link in the show notes for us, and we shall stick it up.
Will do.
Good pick. Mr. Fox, what do you have for us?
Yeah, very simple, free. Everyone, probably most people here, can get it for nothing. I've only just recently updated from iChat to iMessage Messages, as it's called, on the Mac. And one of the reasons I like it is I use iChat a lot, and not necessarily because it's the best talk client or anything, but it's because for family and friends that aren't really that up on their Macs, I can take control of their machine via it. I can share their screen. I can show them videos via it. I can show them pictures via it. I can send files backwards and forwards via it. You know, you literally just drop it on the section of the iChat screen and away it goes. And there's an awful lot of functionality in iChat. But what Messages has done is iChat on steroids. What it's done is linked the iMessage service within the iOS with the iChat on the computer. And what that enables you to do is quite simply send information from one iOS device to your Mac. I was playing with it, and therefore you can send, I was playing with a PDF. I didn't have to sync, I did nothing. I just messaged from my Mac to my iPhone, and I dropped a PDF straight onto my phone via that. And it brings in all these people that don't have Mac machines, but you can, you know, there's far more people I know that have got iPhones and iPads that don't have Macs. And it means I can now link everyone basically through the same system onto my computer. And I think it's really worth a look, especially if you've never even bothered trying iChat, because it does an awful lot more than, you know, Skype or any of these other things do. It's a very good integrated system, so I'd have a good look at it. And of course, it's free.
If you've got Mac.
Well, yeah, if you've got a Mac, you won't want it.
Greeny, what have you got for us, mate?
Well, I got two. I got two. Ewan, come up with a question. What's a question? I got a couple of these to give away. A couple of apps.
Oh, we got giveaways.
Yeah.
Jolly good. Did you like the green counter, by the way?
Hold on, that was going to be my second choice.
Oh, okay.
It's coming. I've lost the train of thought now. Yeah, question. Question. Think of a question.
Me? Any question?
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, to win an app.
What the app is Will Green's inside leg measurement?
Well, that is a question, I suppose. What's my dog called? How about that?
Go on, then.
Think anybody know that? Well, I can't tell you.
There's no point of us asking.
No, this is the point being, is we've got to do a competition. I mean, it's a question that people might know the answer to.
Teresa's already typed Watson. Storm's already typed Watson in the chat room.
Okay, so Teresa and Storm have won. Teresa and Storm, send me an email, will@britishmac.com, and I will send you a copy of... I can't remember what it's called now.
You thought this out well, didn't you, dude?
What's it called?
Damn it when you lose that toilet written script.
It's called Elsewhere. Elsewhere. And it's an application that runs on your Mac. And it basically does... So, you know, you get a lot of these sort of relaxation applications that are just on a loop. Well, this one is like that, but it's not on a loop. It's sort of... No.
They sort this of podcast.
Mix it up, and you can choose between beach, forest, and city, and then it changes from day to night, and so you can select beach, and as you're working during the day, you'll be hearing sort of beach sounds from the day, and then when it gets to night, right, it switches to night sounds from the beach,
which
actually is not a lot. Actually, it's very similar to the day sounds, but. When you move on to city, then there is a difference.
Great, mate. So that's, what was it again?
Elsewhere.
And Teresa and Storm, you've got to send an email to will@britishmac.com to claim your prize. There we go.
Unlucky, Teresa and Storm.
Those of you that are listening to the podcast for that competition, sorry.
You're lucky enough you can't win it. Do you remember the last time someone did the what's my dog called question and nobody got the answer? I think
they won. They got a set of Behringer, not a Behringer earphones. They were good earphones. What were they?
Didn't they have to read the entire website to find out what your dog was called?
But they won, though. They did win.
Yeah, they did. I made them work for it, and it was a good prize.
It was a good prize.
That's a really good prize.
Yeah. Greeny, go on. You got a second?
The second one is Green Counter, of course. How could I not choose that as a pick?
The Green Counter, yes. Anders.
Do you want to set it going?
Yeah, we can get it going. At the moment, there's only the standard noise kit that's there.
I've recorded the extra stuff, which is going to be optional download or something, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think the idea...
There's going to be an in-app purchase... and Greeny, you've done some audio, haven't you? So when you punch him in the face...
Yes.
You get genuine green effects.
Well, I've asked for the money to go to what's the children's charity called?
NSPCC.
NSPCC. Yeah. So, can I ask you, is... a swear word or not?
What's the time, Joe?
Not over here.
You got the green counter on.
Is he gone?
I'm here. Go on.
Well, is it or not?
No. We wouldn't bleep it. No.
No. How about
No. We're not going through these, mate. I'll cut you off in a minute.
Well, that was the point of using the green counter to get. Yeah.
Yeah, because I haven't started it today.
What? That's what I said. I said, "Have you started the green counter?"
No, I haven't started it from the start. So I've got to go back and find my own as it is. So that's what I'm going to do: is find yours.
Oh, all right then. Well, you know mine at the end.
Yeah.
At least it's being one long line. You just have to bleep out 5 straight minutes.
Right. The types of words that we can bleep will not be something that we need to discuss. Thank you very much, mate. Superb picks.
Thank you.
Very good. Very good. Next one. DHM, what have you got for us?
You know.
Quickly, before it gets dark.
Right, I've got... I tell you what, I had quite several people Twitter and contact me during the week asking about the coffee app and the burger app picks from last week. So I feel that was probably quite a good pick.
Okay, very good pick. Thank you for justifying yourself. Next pick, what have you got for today, though?
Even better.
Oh, no. Sweet shop. .com.
No, this is very good. This is like, and probably sort of follows a bit on from Will's. It's called Singularity Experience.
Oh.
It's $2.99. What?
Oh, well, you start the iPhone, you hit the singularity button, and that's it. It's the end of the universe.
No.
Oh, okay. Good.
basically what it is, it's designed to, you set it off and you keep the phone plugged in, you put it under your pillow, you go to sleep, and it plays sounds at specific intervals depending on your sleep rhythm, etc., etc. And the idea is that it's supposed to stimulate your dreams and allow you to become lucidly aware in your dreams and thus take control of your dreams, and then you can go flying or anything. Once you're in control of your dream, you can do what you want.
But didn't Greeny, didn't you pick it?
I've done that pick already, yeah.
The other way, yeah. You did, but you said it was crap, Greeny.
Well, it was for me, but, you know.
But it's quite, I'm heartened by the rating of for the app, which is 12+, which they put in rated for infrequent, mild sexual content or nudity. And I can tell you that if I get lucid dreaming going, it's not going to be infrequent or mild.
Oh, jolly good. Thank you.
Who would not?
Based on the fact you haven't shaved today or combed your hair, there's people vomiting at the moment, mate. Just stop it.
I was going to say, you've got a lucid dream and we've got nightmares.
Oh.
One man's dream is another.
I'm not downloading that now. Poof, stuff it. My pick is pretty simple. It's from a firm called Zenta, and it's a USB 2 plug-in mains port. There you go. And it's got an on-off switch here, and you've got 13 sockets. 13 wasn't a good choice, but there you go. And it was £9.98 from eBuyer. But it's a perfect USB 2 thing. If you've got a whole bunch of drives that you want to put in, and I've got a ton at the moment that I need to get linked up to the home server, then
wow.
It's great. £10, not even £10. And the reason that I've put it on this show and not anywhere else is because when I got it, I just ordered it because I thought, oh, USB 2, that looks great, little tiny rack of USB slots. But it came and it said it was macOS compatible and Linux compatible. I'm quite... It doesn't do anything with the OS whatsoever. So how to talk utter crap on your packaging and have some idiot buy it. There you go. So it's Mac compatible, so that's close enough for me.
Good.
And last but by no means least, Mr. Christensen, what have you got for us?
All right. Has anybody ever done Life of George? Do you guys know about Life of George?
No.
All right. So this is cool because this combines Legos and your iPhone or your iPad. So it's from Lego. You can get it on the Apple store. It's in the UK store, I confirmed. So it's right around £30, it looks like.
Oof.
Well, and so what you get, though, is you get a whole set of Legos, like physical Lego bricks, and then you download a free app. And there's a little board that it comes with that you will get in the game. You get objects that are in George's life, this little character, George, and you have to quickly build them out of Lego. And then you put them on this little board and then you take a picture of what you've assembled with the iPhone. And it then evaluates whether you got the build right and gives you a score. And then you go on through different worlds and different objects. So I think, you know, you go to different cities. Like you start in New York and you go to London, I believe. It's a lot of fun. And then you can also build your own objects and add them into the game. And then other people can try and build those. I don't know if you can share them yet. But, you know, other people in your house or whatever can try and build the Lego objects that you built. It's a whole lot of fun. And if you're a fan of Lego, if you like Lego, it's a fun game. And I love anything that combines sort of the physical world and in the digital world. I find that fascinating.
Excellent. So, good pick. Thank you. If expensive. We'll be back again next week. We've got the Daily Show will be here on Monday, Wednesday and Friday. And we'll have the photo show on Friday and the Mac show on Friday as well. And we'll have the big show on Thursday as normal, 8 p.m. And we might try something a bit different this week. Watch out on the Twitters. There'll be a little announcement. I've had a chat with Joe and we might be doing it. We'll see how it goes. A bit of fun after big on Thursday night. Where can we get a hold of you, chaps? Mr. Christensen?
You can find me over on MacCast.com. I do the MacCast podcast. That's also on iTunes, of course. And every once in a while, though, we're on a little bit of a hiatus. I do an iPhone podcast with Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer and Michael Johnston called We Have Communicators.
Excellent.
That's all iOS-based stuff. So,
Mr. Hume?
You can find me Twitter at Hume Dini, that's HUMEDINI, or you can get me at johnhume.co.uk.
Cheers, mate. Alex?
And?
John, and?
And you can hear my web show every 2 weeks on the British Tech Network.
Yes, we've started the web show and the iOS show, along with the gamer show, which takes us up to 12 shows now, and they're available on iTunes. They're all in iTunes. If you'd like to go and download them, then you can get the links off the website, or you can get to iTunes and search on them. They're on our page, hoping that iTunes will give us a podcast page, which gives us the ability to, you know, have a proper channel on there. But I asked for one the other week and I got told no, so that means I probably won't get asked now, so I'm probably shut it. But there we go. Well done, John. Good start, mate. Alex, what have we, we can get hold of you.
What have we when you got a bit of that? Alex Jakes Fox on Twitter would be lovely. Thank you very much.
Yes, thanks, mate. And Greeny, where can we get hold of you and Barbara?
Well, you can get Barbara, you know, hold of her whenever you like, I suppose. But for me, my own podcast, which is much better than this, a load of old rubbish, which is British Mac. And also, I'd like to shout out to my, so I'm doing a load of cloud stuff at the moment. If you have to Google and cloud, then stoneburn.com is the other place. Will at stoneburn.com.
Stoneburn. Right, okay.
Stoneburn.
DHM, where are you?
I'm at Dr. Happy Mac on the Twitters and in the old world of interwebs, www.drhappymac.co.uk, and in the market every Wednesday.
At the Cornhall.
At the Cornhall with Princess Anne.
Jolly good. Thank you, mate.
Do you ever think that Dr. Happy Mac is a bit of a sinister name?
Sinister?
Well, it's a bit like a scary child's entertainer, isn't it? Here comes Dr. Happy Mac. If you don't go to bed, Dr. Happy Mac will get you in the middle of the night. That sort of thing.
Boogeyman.
I have not made that connection so far. But I suppose it's a bit in a sort of Pennywise the Clown style-y.
Free child scaring with every Mac fix.
Your lucid dreams are going to be bad tonight, I'll tell you.
I threaten my toddler with it every night.
Do you think they really? I don't know. Do they? Has anyone had one? I've never had one. I'd really like to.
If you buy enough, you can get them.
Right. Before we go any further, we're done. Thank you for watching. I'm sorry.